Thanks for downloading this episode of the John Curley and Sherry Ellicker Show. Emerald Queen Casino, the entertainment capital of the Northwest. The best place to watch all your favorite sports. Featuring wall-to-wall viewing screens, six windows, and 30 kiosks. Be there at emeraldqueen.com.
Yes, you are. You're listening to the John Curley, Sherry Ellicker Show. With Sherry out. Great coming in. You. Look at you getting ready to be on the radio. Let me tell you, it's a life-changing experience for you. All you got to do is write to us and give Joe one interesting thing about yourself. Text the Muckleshoot Resort text line, 1-888-973-5476. Joe will choose with the help of Teenie. Teenie's involved in this as well. She's ninth week in a row, consistently Employee of the Week, as she continues to dominate. Well, congratulations to her. She's going to get yourself a whole box of Bite Me cookies coming up at 5:30. The know-it-all quiz. Uh-oh, Taylor Swift's got a new album out, and Craig's all upset about it. Time again. Oh, here we go. Mr. Crybaby, Baby Crier. Taylor Swift's new album comes out. Puyallup's all excited about it. People are doing all sorts of dances and singing. There's a downtown Puyallup is celebrating the release of Taylor Swift's new album today. How are they celebrating in Puyallup?
Oh, my goodness. So they're having a big party, and they're going to do all Taylor Swift-themed activities, including food and breaking up with your ex-boyfriend. I don't whatever her songs are about in totality, Puyallup is rolling out the red carpet for this new double album. It's a 31-song mega album, John. I prefer the Beatles double album. That had Blackbird on it and Happiness is a Warm Gun. Anyways, neither here nor there. I know that Taylor Swift is the hottest thing in the United States of America right now. So what I'm about to say is going to be radically countercultural, and I understand this will make me a pariah in many circles, because I think her Eras tour brought in $1 billion or something of that size and magnitude.
Yeah.
She recently came to Seattle. Only about 72,000 people went to her show, broke all kinds of records.
Yep.
I don't think her popularity speaks well of America personally, John.
Because of the songs and the lyrics, because I actually have one. Do you want to talk about it? Is it But Daddy?
I'm going to make the argument it's the whole package, but let's hear the song that you got here.
Okay, here we go. This is the song.
This is the new one, right? Just came out.
Yes, it is.
Okay.
Yes, here we go.
I forget how the West was won. I forget if this one's ever fun. I just learned these people only raise you to cage you. Sarah's and Hannah's in the sun.
You're feeling it, John.
Clutching their paws, I am what a mess. I just learned these people try and save you.
Cause they hate you.
Come on. Come on. Come on, where is it? Here we go, and then drum's gonna come in some point.
Don't bore
here we
us.
Go,
get
bring
to the
it up and
with my dress on button. But daddy, I love him. I'm having this baby. No, I'm not, but you should see your face.
Alright, that's enough. Let's cut it off. Buzzer. Turn it off. Okay, so that's inevitably one of her new hits called...
It sounded remarkably like our AI song generator vocalist.
Yes,
right?
It did. Has the same thing.
Joe, you
okay,
just
so what's wrong with Taylor Swift? So she's got all these songs and all these girls love her.
Okay,
and so
it's true.
Why is... Go ahead.
You're what's speaking facts, but Joe just nailed my first point, which is as a musician myself, objectively... The songs, the arrangements, the melodies, the musicianship, the originality, it is so banal, John. Unoriginal, boring, repetitious. Again, 31 songs, 90% of them are almost indecipherable from one another. They use the same 3-4 chords, and they're just an excuse for her to speak whatever kind of poetry in monotone that she's doing there. So that's my first.
Aside,
that's my first problem.
Aside from the artistry of the music and the chord choices,
okay.
And everything else,
that can be subjective.
Is it the lyrics? You've got a problem with the lyrics.
That can be subjective. I do not think that she is a great role model for young ladies. And make no mistake, if you're in the public eye, whether you like it or not, you are held up kind of as a role model or an example for young people. Yes, this is top of mind for me because I have young kids and I can't escape the fact that this dynamic takes place. And so, for example, Martin Luther, who had his 99 thesis and was real, real big in the Christian church, he wrote the... to put it mildly, he wrote the song. Right. He wrote the song "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God" because he wanted people to be able to skip to the melody and internalize scripture and praise of God while they were going throughout their daily lives. So make no mistake, music is a very seductive, profound, and compelling thing. And my wife is a TA at an elementary school, and she was hearing word today that all these young girls, ages 9, 10, 11, were just getting set to go race home and listen to that new Taylor Swift album. So they're going to be listening to all these lyrics of these songs, internalizing them, maybe perhaps even acting on them. They become, you know, part of your inner psyche. This first song we just listened to called "But Daddy, I Love Him." Just a few more tastes of what she writes about. He was chaos. He was revelry. Bedroom eyes like a remedy. Okay, interpretation. Mm-hmm. So his lust for you is a cure for your spiritual sickness. Got it. That's a really healthy message to send to really young girls. Now I'm running with my dress unbuttoned, screaming, "But Daddy, I love him. I'm having his baby." No, I'm not, but you should see your faces. Okay. I'll tell you something right now. I'd rather burn my whole life down than listen to one more second of all this beep and moaning. I'll tell you something about my good name. It's mine alone to disgrace. It's just really destructive kind of drivel that comes out of her mouth, but it's all covered up in these beautiful, gorgeous dresses she wears on stage and her guitar and her flowing hair and the attraction of her riches and wealth. And she's dating Travis Kelce. And I think it's a bad thing that a lot of people look to this 34-year-old who's caught in perpetual adolescence. I mean, these lyrics sound like a 14-year-old wrote them. I hate to say she's had dozens of ex-boyfriends. She's allergic to commitment. It's anathema to her life. I think the lack of commitment and keeping commitments is one of the things that is hurting our culture the most. And so for that reason and many more, I'm just not buying into the Taylor Swift phenomenon. I know that makes me unpopular, and it's probably going to light up the text line right now. But there you go. That's my two cents. More to be said
so,
if you want.
The argument I would have is, so young women listen to the lyrics, and then they're learning from these lyrics, and then they are assimilating to the behavior of what Taylor Swift is and how she, her relationship.
Her worldview, the way she sees the world, the way she interprets it, the way she sings about it and waxes poetic about it.
Well, I mean, when the Beatle Maxwell Silverhammer came down on his head, did you go around and bring hammers down on people?
No, but I've been singing Here Comes the Sun a lot lately.
Okay, but I'm just wondering, like, girls, do you think girls, young women that are hearing it, they know the weird lyrics, but there's one thing to understand, what you can sing them, you like them, because you like the way it sounds, but then to internalize it and then say, now I'm going to accept these lyrics and I'm going to act on these lyrics.
I don't think it happens in a direct way, like you're I think it happens in a subconscious way, right? Garbage in, garbage out. You are what you eat. And if you consume copious amounts of what she is talking about, some way or another, it gets into who you are, especially if you're singing it constantly throughout the day.
Okay, I agree. And there was a study that was done. I forget who did it. Was they played the national anthem for somebody, and then they asked them questions to see how open they were, how empathetic were, how sympathetic they were to particular sort of political things, not necessarily political, but like just social causes. Then they played Itsy Bitsy Spider. Now, Itsy Bitsy Spider brings people back to when they were little kids and they're, you know, snack time and taking a nap at nursery school. And then they asked them similar questions, and apparently, after listening to Itsy Bitsy Spider, they're more sympathetic, more empathetic, and they were just generally in a sort of a more accepting mood. They said that the songs can actually stimulate parts of your response to feelings, thoughts and feelings, right? Then they did studies on rap music, and the misogynistic sort of style of rap, they played a bunch of songs where women are really treated like trash, and they played them for various women, and what they noticed was women were less offended by behavior from actual behavior from men after they listened to the songs, because the songs had sort of in a way kind of permeated their view of themselves in relationship to men, and they were more accepting of misogynistic behavior because the songs had glorified these things, and the women, I guess, accepted sort of their role in this, you know, dynamic, this power dynamic, as they are the victim and the guy is treating them poorly. So I could see that. Now, whether or not young women all of a sudden start to like behave like Taylor Swift, I don't know if they're into sort of,
but if you're listening to music,
to live that way,
if you're listening to music constantly that is full of feminine rage, anger at social systems, anger at ex-boyfriends, anger at religion, scornful, resentful, spiteful, full of teenage angst, some way or another that begins to become a part of you. It just does. That's the seduction of music. I mean, and I started out by saying the first offense is the music isn't great, because as a musician myself, that's the first thing I'm in tune with is this song worth a damn? But the secondary thing is the lyrics. And again, going back hundreds of years, the fathers of, you know, religion knew that music had such a power to it that if you set lyrics to it, it could become a part of a person and their essence. And I think we neglect to recognize this in this day and age. We chalk it up to a trivial matter, or it's just a fun escape. No. I think there's a much more profound dynamic at play here. And that's just one thing I
want. I remember in high school, there were the groups, so like the kids that were really into heavy metal. Then there were the kids that, you know, liked different other kinds of music.
Yeah.
And they were sort of that you would dress a particular way.
Sure.
And you'd be constantly scrolling on your notebook pad, you know, Leonard Skinner.
That L-Y-N-Y-R-D.
Right. All the Skinner stuff. Right. And you had that. And then you had heavy metal. Then you had the punks that were doing that was later in the early 80s and stuff. And the guys that were dressing like punk, and they had all the spikes and their hair was sticking up in the air, so they sort of part of those cultures. But you eventually outgrew all that. Remember how upset people were when the Beatles came and they had mop top hair, and it, yeah. Oh my God,
that's
the Beatles, and what this is going to do to society and culture, and the fact that the three cameramen that were running live cameras on Elvis Presley were told don't shoot anything below the waist, and so what they ended up doing is taking close ups of his fingers as his finger was sort of just doing this thing, because they had his face, they had his chest, but they weren't allowed to show his waist because he was gyrating and would cause problems for American culture, right? So you're kind of on this same sort of bandwagon that music has this effect and it's demoralizing to young lives. Is that it?
I mean, I'll sit down with our 13-year-old daughter and she's not immune to this stuff. So she gets social pressures, but also cultural pressures. Hey, everybody's into Taylor Swift. Everybody's into Billie Eilish. Everybody's into Olivia Rodrigo. So instead of just like denying those things and saying, out, you evil music, I'll sit down with her and we'll listen to these songs, sometimes track by track, and we'll sort of review them together, because I don't want her to just willy-nilly walk into them and think, oh, my parents endorse every aspect of this, as does culture, so I'm going to allow this to become a part of me. So one Billie Eilish song, I'll go, hey, yeah, what do you think of that lyric there when she says this? And listen to what she does with her voice. Isn't that beautiful when she goes up and then down and then pulls off the mic a little bit? But then what do you make of this lyric? Test it against what we believe as a family and what you know to be true. When she says, I just need to make myself happy, does that coincide with what our family believes as what ultimate reality is? And that might sound a little out there, but I will really go through those exercises with our kids to make sure that the messages don't get into her without her first testing them, so to speak.
I understand. Yeah, that's smart. Same thing. You don't let your kid just watch anything on television. You just let them look at anything on Instagram. You're parenting.
I don't know how many parents
Taylor Swift
do that.
Is stuck. I don't know either. But I heard of, there's a great piece. Abigail Schreier has written this book about therapy, bad therapy. And she's talking about parents have no idea and don't care what's happening on the kids' cell phones and what they're looking at. She said if every night at 9 o'clock or 10 o'clock at night, a white van with, you know, no plates on it and blacked out windows, obviously some sort of weird van, they'd be, oh no, danger. If the van showed up in front of your house and parked right next to your daughter's window every single night at 10 o'clock, wouldn't you call the police? Wouldn't you want to see what's in the van? Why is that van there? She goes, but the same thing, the parents don't care that the kid says, oh, good night. They turn the lights off, they go underneath the covers, and they're there on social media. And any kind of perverted, disgusting human being can get onto that person's phone and have an effect upon that young girl. It's the same thing as the van being parked out in front of the house. You'd be terrified if the van was there, but you can have millions of vans, millions of disgusting vans, using that analogy, on the phone, but the parents are like, well, you know, what can I do? The kid's going to have their phone. I don't want to take it away from them because I don't want to argue with them.
You know, you're touching on a subject that is the main topic of Jonathan Haidt's new book, The Anxious Generation,
I know.
Which I'm reading right
yes.
now. And it should be
Brilliant.
Required reading for every American adult. I cannot endorse it highly enough. And I think it's going to lead to some major changes in this country regarding a lot of what you
Jonathan
just said.
Jonathan Haidt, what Greg is talking about, Haidt, who wrote the book, I think it was Closing the American Mind. Was it that one?
Coddling of the American Mind.
Coddling the American Mind. So he's done all this study. He's done all this research on what's happening to kids and phones. And I got into this discussion with this woman last Sunday or Saturdays at this party. And she goes, well, what can we do? She's got two kids and they're like in those years, 10 and 12 or something. Well, what could we possibly do? I said, well, let me tell you what Haidt says to do. If I were to call you up and we're in fourth grade and I've got fourth graders and I say to you, listen, there's 11 of us right now that are refusing to give our kids cell phones, smartphones. Will you be with us? Can we count on you to be the 12th? Will you be that person? Because we're all making this pledge that we won't let our kids. And if you stay with us, we can get everybody in this class. That would be great. And then we can go all the way through middle school and then we can maybe get into high school. And then maybe that. Because she started saying, well, the government's not going to do it. And I said, yeah, it has to be individual, one-on-one. Mm-hmm. And Haidt is saying, society has to start saying, we need to step in and stop this because we know the problems. But
his thesis is
got to give my phone to my kid, right?
We moved from a play-based childhood in the 80s and 90s to a phone-based childhood in the 2010s and 2020s. And by almost any important metric, it's been unbelievably harmful to children. Mental health, suicide, the way they interact with the world around them. It's just actually destroyed a generation. And he has the receipts. I mean, he's got the data points and the research to prove it. It's very convincing, John. And I think it's,
right.
again,
when he talks about the emergency room and how many kids, like boys, used to go into the emergency room, like one out of five during the summer with a broken arm or stitches or something like that. Now, they're never off the couch, so they're not physically ever doing anything.
Well, and then someone would come back and say, hey, isn't it just silly videos online? And does this stuff really seep into their psyche? And they're just scrolling and, you know, seeing guys throw a basketball in a fun way or a girl putting on makeup. It's much more pernicious than that. Much more.
I think Taylor Swift sums it up best when she says,
he was chaos, he was revelry.
Oh.
Feel the corruption.
Oh, John's got the lighter out on the live stream. Bedroom eyes like a remedy. What does it mean?
All right. Okay, stop.
If you've been thinking about surgery or even joint replacement, here's something to consider. Hi, it's Dave Ross. I've talked to over 100 patients of Dr. Mark Wagner, MD, and many of them have told me about life-changing results. Their words, after treatment at Seattle Swartz and regenerative medicine, these are people with severe osteoarthritis, even bone on bone, and they're back to hiking, jogging, playing tennis, skiing, golfing, walking up and downstairs, playing with the kids and the grandkids, and they're doing it without pain and without surgery. Dr. Wagner's 60-minute outpatient procedure uses your own stem cells, and because they're your own stem cells, they can help regenerate your own cartilage in your own joints. Dr. Wagner is a board-certified Seattle physician. He has over 30 years of experience, and he's performed over 20,000 stem cell procedures. And he's one of the few doing it the right way.
So, listen to his patients and remember, whether it's a shoulder, hip, elbow, ankle, wrist, or knee, before you choose surgery, first see Dr. Mark Wagner, MD. Get the facts, then get back in the game at drmarkwagnermd.com.
Mariners texts keep you one step ahead. Receive breaking news, exclusive offers, and so much more. Sign up in just seconds by texting Mariners to 24247. Again, just text the word Mariners to 24247 to stay up to date with all the latest from T-Mobile Park.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Two young fathers are shot to death outside an iconic Utah restaurant.
I said, your dad has been hurt really bad.
The grief was disorienting for those left behind until one choice changed everything.
I just remember writing this letter, and it wasn't me writing it.
Can a personal decision shape generations?
We're all falling for this guy's trick.
I'm Amy Donaldson. Season 2 of The Letter, Ripple Effect, is available now. Follow us at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Ba-ba-ba-ba. Wilcox Family Farm Eggs, the best eggs anywhere around.
Oh, they're good.
Mm, love them hard-boiled with a little bit of salt. Just tasty treats, little packs of protein. Oh, my goodness gracious, it's time for the Know-It-All Quiz.
That's right,
the Know-It-All Quiz. Brought to you by Bite Me Cookies. Here comes our contestant now. Her name is Gary. She lives in Cedar Woolley. And the one interesting thing about her is that 80% of the time, she acts before she thinks, which lands her in quite a few pickles. Gary, say hello to Craig.
Hi, Craig.
80% of the time.
It works every time.
Where do you get 80% of the time? You've done some studies of how many times you've gotten yourself in a mess?
I'm 62 years old, so I'm just kind of, you know, averaging it out.
Yeah.
Well, okay. I couldn't find a place to park at work, so I decided to go buy a truck, not even giving the crap that I'll have to, make a payment on it.
Okay. Wow.
So I got a Ford 150 and a $700 a month truck payment.
Wow. Yikes. But you bought, okay, just real quick. So you bought the truck for what reason?
I couldn't find a place to park at work. Well, I didn't really think it through, you know. Didn't really think about the payment or anything. Yeah. Or when I decided to tile my my bathroom sink. Yeah, I'm not very good at that. I've never done it before.
No. But just sort of dive right in. Hey, what was the last time you acted without thinking that it almost killed you?
It almost killed me.
Oh, wow.
Well, that's been, I haven't done that. It's almost killed me, but I'm good for a few laughs. I mean, when you think about it. And I don't home decorate anymore. Now I pay people to decorate my home because I get tired of painting. So like half my ceilings are painted and half of it's not one color. And it's just, I don't know.
Yeah. I get it.
It's a good idea at the time. Do it. I use whatever I have and it's never enough. So.
But how did the truck solve the parking problem?
Yeah. Good question there.
I look better when I found a place to park.
Well, there you have it.
Okay. Well, there it is. Yeah. I think you and I might be related somehow. I'll tell you that, Carrie. I am in the same club of acting first, thinking later. Well, listen, tone or tenor is going to change because here we go. You have to just get one or two of these right. You can set up a whole box of Bite Me cookies. Thank you, Teeny. Teeny's got those ready to go. All right, here we go. Greg was surprised when he was continually getting what sound effect after numerous comments? Greg?
Carrie, is it A, flatulence? Oh, come on. B, rim shots? Or C, Sherry saying back, back, back.
Back, 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 back.
Sherry's not on the the radio today, so I would to say...
it's like you're taking the SAT. Process of elimination.
Yeah, well, I was at work, yeah. So I didn't get to hear it, but so I'm going to go with... I bet he said something really great, so I will say B.
Yeah, rimshot.
Rimshot is correct.
Here we go. We did a story about losing things of value, like Jason Kelsey's lost Super Bowl ring. Greg asked, if I had ever lost anything, what did I lose? Greg.
Carrie, is it A, clogs, B, a car, or C, with his new beard, a feminine face?
All right.
Well, he might like to think that. He might like to think that, but clogs, I don't think so. I could say car if you've been to the...
Wow, you're really... Wow. We have never had anybody go through process of elimination.
Nailed
this is
it.
Crazy. Yeah, who says you don't think first before you act? Look at this.
No kidding.
Former President Trump is going...
I told a few people to listen to me, so I have to say.
Okay. Time for a shout-out. Who's listening right now? Give him a shout-out. Go ahead.
Happy birthday to my daughter who just turned 42. It's her birthday today.
Okay.
And Karina. And I got a few friends and my sister and my other daughter.
Sure. Okay. Mm-hmm. They're all out there. They're going to test the fact that you're a terrible painter. Here we go. Former President Trump is going public about something in the courtroom. What is his complaint, Craig?
Is it A, the courtroom smells like hot dogs? B, the courtroom is very cold? Or C, the courtroom is infested with rats that are running underfoot?
Well, he'd probably say that just because if any, you know, Democrat was in there or something.
I like your inner monologue.
Well, that's amazing.
So I'm going to... It smells like hot dogs. I don't know about that one. I'm going to say C.
Oh my God. Wait. You are spending more time on this than I spent to write them. This is really something. Here we go. Finally, for all the macaroni and cheese in the shape of James Buchanan's head. Today, I demanded that something be brought back to the public square. What is it, Greg?
Is it A, the laughing stock, B, shame, or C, free parking?
I don't know what square it is, but I'm all for free parking.
Okay. You're going to go free parking?
Final answer?
Yeah. Yep. Final answer.
Well, thank you. Congratulations, Gary. Although that wasn't the right answer, it doesn't matter because you were busy working to pay off that truck you spent way too much for while we were doing the radio show. But it all comes together with you winning a whole box of Bite Me cookies. Gary, congratulations to you. Hopefully you don't get yourself in any sort of trouble over the weekend making rash decisions. And who's the guy that always gives advice, financial advice? Dave Ramsey. Dave Ramsey would be taking you up one side of the barn and down the other. The fact that you're spending $700. Yeah, he would not be happy with that payment on that truck. But at least you enjoy it, right?
Hey, it only went through 6 or 7, you know, finance companies before one took me, so.
Wow, guys, you are able to laughing at adversity. Well, there you go, my friend. Listen, Carrie, thanks a lot. Thanks for being on. Stay on the line. Don't do anything rash. And Joe's going to get your address and everything else, and we'll have a whole box of Bite Me cookies coming over there, and who knows what you'll do with them.
If you've been thinking about surgery or even joint replacement, here's something to consider. Hi, it's Dave Ross. I've talked to over 100 patients of Dr. Mark Wagner, MD, and many of them have told me about life-changing results. Their words, after treatment at Seattle Swartz and regenerative medicine. These are people with severe osteoarthritis, even bone on bone, and they're back to hiking, jogging, playing tennis, skiing, golfing, walking up and down stairs, playing with the kids and the grandkids, and they're doing it without pain and without surgery. Dr. Wagner's 60-minute outpatient procedure uses your own stem cells, and because they're your own stem cells, they can help regenerate your own cartilage in your own joints. Dr. Wagner is a board-certified Seattle physician. He has over 30 years of experience, and he's performed over 20,000 stem cell procedures. And he's one of the few doing it the right way. So, listen to his patients, and remember, whether it's a shoulder, hip, elbow, ankle, wrist, or knee, before you choose surgery, first see Dr. Mark Wagner, MD. Get the facts. Then get back in the game at drmarkwagnermd.com.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
2 young fathers are shot to death outside an iconic Utah restaurant.
I said, your dad has been hurt really bad.
The grief was disorienting for those left behind, until one choice changed everything.
I just remember writing this letter, and it wasn't me writing it.
Can a personal decision shape generations?
We're all falling for this guy's trick.
I'm Amy Donaldson. Season 2 of The Letter, Ripple Effect, is available now. Follow us at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Here we go. How about our friend Carrie? Wow.
She was awesome.
Still can't figure out why she bought a truck.
Yeah.
Because she couldn't
find parking, yeah.
Couldn't find parking.
Huh.
Mm. She thought more about her answers to the quiz than I spent time pontificating about Taylor Swift lyrics.
Lordy. All right. Oh, my gosh. Here comes the mailman now. I'm sure he's got some letters. Yes, he does. Look at him.
One, two, three,
big four.
I'm the mailman, as you can see.
Look at you counting him in.
Don't nobody mess with me. I'm the mailman. If you didn't know, I'm the mailman.
Uh-huh.
I bring the mail to your door.
Right to your door. Don't mess with them. All right, get the letter of the day. First, take care of all the rest. Teeny, get ready. Here we go. All right, Greg, you go first.
Doug in Mount Vernon, when we were talking about self-immolation and Jesus Christ, you connect the dots, I don't know. You guys missed a really good chance to seg into Jesus Christ Superstar. Now, is that the one with the Technicolor Dreamcoat, John, or is that?
No, no, that's Joseph in the Technicolor Dreamcoat.
Oh, okay,
Jesus,
got it.
I don't know how to...
Keep going.
The nuns hated that because it's Mary Magdalene, not Mary Magdalene's thing. Love him, he's just a man.
I've never seen it nor heard
this. Rudy in Seattle says, wow, you guys are on fire with logic and discussion today. It's been wonderful. And I'll be re-listening to the podcast while I prep my barbecue later.
What are you cooking?
I assume that's not a euphemism for something.
From the 253, I do not like Donald Trump, but you guys kind of nailed it. There's no equal application of the law, and they hate him so much that they'll do anything to get rid of him, which is un-American and the opposite of democracy. I really wish we had two better options this year.
Yes, talking about furries, Doug in Lake Stevens says, I had a friend in class in the early 70s who grew up on a horse farm, and she liked to pretend that she was a pony during recess, but that was first grade.
Did anybody tell her what the glue was made out of in first grade? Sorry. Uncle Unicycle Mike, when I was in high school, me and my friends had full-on costumes of animals we would wear to school. I still have my raccoon costume in my closet. LOL.
Okay, and Elliot with a 5-star Uber rating. Oh, okay, Elliot. Okay, really? I identify as a judge. Yeah, and only because he does this all the time. Because my Uber rating dropped because I had to cancel 2 rides in New York and they just knocked it down. I identify as a judge. Therefore, it is required that I judge. Wackadoodles, 6 ways to Sunday.
I get it.
Elliot.
On the subject of Taylor Swift from the 425, I love the cutting through Taylor's shallow worldview.
253 says, you guys are ridiculous. Taylor Swift is writing lyrics for herself, not for you or your children.
Well, then why does she release them right to my face? Lauren in Ferndale, OMG, listening to music lyric by lyric with your dad, barf. Touché,
yes,
Lauren. Touché.
I am right there with you. Oh, God. Stopping it and going, what do you think she means by that?
I don't do it every day. I've done that a couple times, but I obviously let her listen to music alone. But every once in a while, I go, let's listen to this together.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, let's stop. How do you stop right there for a moment? What does she mean by saboteur? Just stop right there.
That's a legit question. Totally legit. From the 360, I think this is a great point about most popular music. Unfortunately, tough place to be in society as parents, but you can't control this. Have to have conversations as parents.
Yes, and then lyrics are both general and personal. This is from Bubba, the 206. It is important to a young person to have the skills to make that differentiation. All right, good. Thank you, Teeny. He's been quiet all day, but she has chosen letter of the day. Here we go.
And now it's time for the letter of the day.
Okay. to you, my friend.
From Rachel C. on Losing Things. At 16, my guitar flew from the back of an unsecured U-Haul. It was traumatic.
Oof.
That was also the same trip we lost our parrot. We replaced that parrot with another, and my brother accidentally shot it with a BB gun. Boys. So I can't say that losing something twice was better than losing it once. Also, our parents were kind of terrible.
Wow, I like this sort of free flow of
stream of consciousness.
Like a Charles Bukowski poem or something.
It was like a Pollock painting. Yeah.
That's all she wrote. That's all she wrote. Didn't write one of the references to other things having to do with arts. She left. It's like a. Well, never mind. Let's do this. Let's see if we can do another hour. The whole thing I wanted to do. Let's do another hour of this. I think we're going to have some fun. Maybe we can get. Explain this to us. Stop and talk about what she means by that.